Hello.
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 This
This
is
is Brandy.
Janie.
Hey, Janie, this is Brandy.
Hey. The sound is very, very weird.
Oh, could be my air conditioner.
No. It started before I got on. I'm going to hang up and call back, see if I get a better connection.
Okay, Janie.
Talk to you. Hello, it's Jamie again.
It's
Hey.
Brandy.
Hey.
It better, your connection?
It is better, but there are big storms around here, and I think that's why it was funky.
Yeah, we've had some rain and little storms here today. So
Yeah.
that could be it.
Well, it's been just heavy rain and some wind, and it's great for the garden.
Well, yeah, it's great for the garden.
I'm going to mute this, okay?
Okay. Hello.
Well, are we both still here? This is Jamie.
Yeah, I'm still here. Do you think he's going to come on?
Well, I think he plans to.
Okay.
You want to wait till 7:45 and then cut it off. That makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll wait till 45.
Okay.
All right. Hello?
Too often, which is nobody would have to know that.
Right. For an occasional use.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello. We're
sorry
here.
Sorry to be late.
We're reading from Bereshit A, section 4, and the earth was without form. We've read the first 6 verses from 17 to 23, so we're going to start with 24. Hashem Yehud Kudshah Baruch Hu Ishkinteh Vivkilu Urkilu Utkilu Liach Dashem Yudke Bavavke V'yichuda Shalim B'Shem Ko Yisrael Limud Torah Ruach Hu Ko Bishare Al Bohu V'yad Kech Leia V'yan Heg Leia V'choma The Eats Swira Zada Ho Hashem Al Hamaim Became the Ruach Elohim Mirachet Al Penet Hamaim Avnin Meshacham Glory to Ome. Enafki Mayayo. Minchum. We all die. Ikrum Pene Hamayim. Ruachan Heg. Viatke Leinun. Panim Pene to home. Dakima the Ishterich Leia Vida Kima the Ishterich Leia. The wind that is mentioned in the verse, and a wind from Elohim, is a voice that rests upon Bohu and guides it in all where it is needed. This is the secret of the verses. The voice of Hashem is upon the waters, and a wind from Elohim moved over the surface of the waters. The stones are immersed deep inside the abyss from which waters flow. This is why they are called the surface of the waters. The wind guided and strengthened the faces, called the surface of the deep, each according to its requirements. Any thoughts? Any questions?
Is that something about the land emerging?
It's talking about things immersing. We're dealing with the world of Tohu and Bohu. And this is talking about the world of Bohu. So the in the world of Tohu, you have the waters having within the waters, there's stones. Stones are the potential things.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's planets, whether it's stars, whether it's people, but stones are basically different desires to receive. So, then the Torah says Hashem put a ruach, put a wind or a spirit hovering over the waters. And that's what this verse is talking about. And it's explaining that this wind is, its purpose is to guide, using these words here, is to guide the development of that desire to receive. Essentially, the stones are in the frame initially. In Tohu, the desire to receive is in the phase one. Now, I've mentioned the phase one, and the people on the telephone call are familiar with the four phases. We mentioned it the first class. You may not have been there. But what phase one is, it's like the creator or the life is knocking at the door of the vessel and asking permission to fulfill it. And doing that asking, when it comes in, there's no real desire there. The vessel answers, yeah, come on in, I'll reveal you. You know, the light is saying, I want to come in to fulfill you, and in the process you'll reveal me. And the vessel says, no problem, come on in. But it's not a true desire. This guiding is what that's referring to. Because in the worlds of Tohu, and then it becomes the world of Bohu, the is the development of desire. But once the desire happens, the Sephirot have no communication between themselves. The stones being desired to receive have no communication within between themselves. So when they have this thought of sharing, they just share without any consideration of what is the capacity of the vessel below them. And what happens is the vessels break. And so Tohu the world of Tohu becomes the world, the shattering of the blessing. It becomes a world of dots, which is the Sephiroth in that place, the desires, but with no ability to communicate with each other. They're separate, and they can share with each other, but they can't really communicate. And the conference caller, are there any questions? Pasuk 25. Tohu aleya sharya shem shaddai. Tohu aleya sharya shem tzvaot. Choshech aleya sharya shem Elohim. Ruach Aleya Sharya Shem Yud Dalet Vav Dalet. The name Shaddai dwells upon Tohu. The name Tzvaot dwells upon Bohu. And the name Elohim dwells upon darkness, because darkness is a result of Malchut rising up to Bima, which is called Elohim. The name wind dwells upon Yud-He, Vav-He. Somewhat clear, not clear? Well, Shaddai is the name that means enough. When Tohu completes its process, it becomes the world of Bohu. And Tohu is considered void, and that's the name Tzvaot, which is legions. Well, legions of war usually is thought of. Shaddai Tzvaot is usually thought of as one name. But the Shaddai, it means, it's like the Creator saying, enough. The process is complete. Let's move forward to the next step. Tzvaot means all of the different legions of angels, but this is much older. Go ahead, are you asking a question? Are you just asking a question? I'm not hearing anything. Static is off, so thank you for muting yourself. So as I was saying, these two names are separate, with usually in our world we think of them as being united, because the worlds of Tohu and Bohu are somewhat connected, as we discussed in the earlier verses. The stones are sitting in the water, and then the next step is they become void. They're in complete lack. You know, when they were in the water, they're there. But then they become emptied. That's the idea of void. So the Tohu is chaos. The world being invisible, empty more than invisible. But it also means invisible. But invisible, we probably use the word halel, which is vacuum. Void is—it's not that they're invisible, but from our perspective, you know, there was nothing, there was no human being to perceive them. So they, you know, they were invisible because there was no way to relate to them. There's nothing to see them, but you know, there was the creator and there was the vessel. So in that sense, there was something to perceive them. And then verse 26. Ruach HaShem Mipareh Harim Lo Ruach HaShem Wigomer Shema Dala Haweh Beya Tehashadai Shaltaleya Tirazad Tohu V'achar haruah rash lo birah Hashem v'Hashem tzivaot shava Be'ya biraza birbohu be'alda Ikre bohu ash Bilavihu bilarash. The great and strong wind rent the mountains, but Hashem was not in the wind. The name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh was not in the wind because the strong wind comes from Tohu, upon which the name Shaddai rests. Hence it reads, but Hashem was not in the wind. And it explains that the earthquake came from Bohu. As the verse continues, and after the wind, an earthquake. But Hashem was not in the earthquake, because only the name Tzivaot rests upon it in the secret of Bohu. Hence it is called Bohu. As for the fire that comes out of darkness, the scripture reads, and after the earthquake, a fire. But Hashem was not in the fire, as the name Elohim rests upon it from the aspect of darkness. And after the fire, a still, small voice, which comes from the aspect of the wind of Elohim, upon which the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh rests. The verse reads, when Eliyahu heard it and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Eliyahu? He did not leave the cave at the first three aspects, only when he heard a still small voice, because the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh was there, and he knew that Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh was talking to him. This is referring to a verses that describe it. It's a very famous part of the prophets or the kings, the Book of Kings, but it's basically describing the klipot as you go through your meditations. You have to go through these four levels, the last level being above that last level you're able to get to hear that still small voice, to connect to the Sephirot, to the Creator, to the positive aspects, because positivity is surrounded by negativity. And there are four levels of negativity that surrounds the positivity. Those were described in that verse as the strong wind, which is the world of Bohu. It's saying that comes from Bohu, and that's what it represents. And then it's you have the cloud, which is the first the wind, and then an earthquake, which is in another place it's described as a cloud, or maybe that's the third level. I always forget the order. But these four negative sections that you have to go through to get to the core of the light, to the kernel of positivity, whatever it is that you're seeking in your meditation. And that's what this verse is prescribing but it's also describing the process of creation, going through these four steps. Phase one, where the light enters. Phase two, where it wants to, the vessel wants to share, but there's nobody to share with because it's only one. And then phase three, where it becomes darkness because there's new vessels that are created to receive what the vessel has to share. But those vessels don't have a desire for the light. They have a desire for what the vessel has to share. That's considered darkness because it's not a complete...
It's 8 o'clock.
Where? Hello? Hello? And then the fourth level is when of creating desire, the vessel yearns to have what it once had, which was phase one. It yearns to have that back. And that's what's referred to as where Malchut rises to Bina. It's trying to get back to that level of, I once had everything good, all of the fulfillments, and I have lost that. I want it back. And it, the wanting it back is true desire. It's true passion for it. And we all go through it in our own lives in the sense when we lose something, when not a physical thing, but when, you know, if we have, you know, even as a, in a sense, our children, you know, when they're first born, you know, we're taking care of them, we're dealing with them. And as they grow, they go through these phases. And we go through these phases where, you know, we're here to share with them, provide for them. And then as they get to be teenagers and they start to reject that, they push back. They don't want us involved. They want what they need, but not, you know, our involvement. And then the fourth phase being that they, you know, they move away and we want them back. We've lost them, you know. Yes, we're proud that they've grown up, but... You know, we feel a lack that there's children not in the nest. So the same, everything in life is related to those four phases. I will read one more verse if we still have a little bit of time because I will wait. And that's the last verse in the section. We are Harah. Eish lo ba'esh, Hashem de Hashemad Elohim, Shalta be'ya, Misitra de Choshech, Ve'achar ha'esh, Kol de mama, Daka ha'ka, Gishtekach, Shem yud dalet bav dalet, Arba Pirkin Hakadinun Pirke Gufa Vevrim Yedinyan Dinun Arba Vinun Teresar Vichaka Shema Galifa Ditresar Atvan de Itzasar, the Eliyahu, Amara. The name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh has four segments, namely four letters, that signify the parts of the human body and certain members, namely the limbs which are four, that can become 12. Here is the secret of the name that consists of 12 letters, which were given to Eliyahu while inside the cave. This alludes to the three names of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Each consists of four letters, which together add up to 12. And this name, with its 12 letters, appears in the human body. The first appears in the head, which is Chachma, Bina, and Dat. the second in the body from the top to the navel, Chesed, Gevura, and Tiferet. The third from the navel downward is Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. And each part of the body is divided into four other parts, which add up to the 12. As a chiropractor, you relate to the parts of the body, but you never put it in the complex, probably, of the four parts. But each, in your head, there's four parts. You have two brains and two eyes. That represents right and left brain.
Okay.
And then the four, two eyes, right and left eye, and that's the level of Hakba. But you also have Bina and Dat, which is the ears. So it's saying four letters. There's Yud Hey Vav Hey in the head by itself. But then in that Yud Hey Vav Hey, there's four levels as well. You know, and how do we could say the eyes, the ears, the nose, and the mouth is the four levels. You know, it's not being specific in the Zohar so that we can determine what's right for ourselves in our own meditations. You know, the brain is a physical organ. The mind is something outside the body.
That's true. It's done with attention.
Wisdom is centered in the mind, yes. That's where your thoughts come from, outside the body. But yet the brain is in the body and is, you know, so we talk in terms of mind and brain, but that's really body and soul. But the 12-letter name is the Yud Kei Vav Kei on the right, meaning sharing. Yud Kei Vav Kei on the left, meaning receiving. And then the center point of Yud Kei Vav Kei where the two find balance. Sharing and receiving in balance. Now, how does that relate to the body? It's instead of right, left, and center, it's top, bottom, and middle. So your head is the top, your chest and up to the navel is to the diaphragm is the middle. And from the diaphragm to the knees or to the lower. And ultimately the malchut being your feet, the lower legs and feet. That's the end of the section. Are there any questions? We'll have a class at 7 o'clock West Coast time tonight. Eating as Tikkun is the name of the class. It's the first time I'm teaching it. And then tomorrow at 7 o'clock or 7:30, actually, we'll continue with Section 5, And There Was Light. Shalom to everyone.
Shalom. Bye-bye.